ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14 ಗುಣತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 1. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ ಪರಂ ಭೂಯ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಜ್ಞಾನಾನಾಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುತ್ತಮಂ ಯಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ಮುನಯಃ ಸರ್ವೇ ಪರಾಂ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಮಿತೋ ಗತಾಃ. So here Arjuna is not putting any question himself, but Krishna himself feels that the jnanam topic, that should be elaborated some more. So the topic of the 13th chapter, that should be elaborated. That's what Krishna feels. So the kshetra kshetrajna vibhaga jnanam, the topic of the previous chapter, that itself is going to be discussed in the 14th chapter also to some extent. And so Krishna says, this topic being a very subtle topic and very difficult to understand, once again I will give you the same knowledge. So in the first shloka, we get Krishna himself introducing the same topic. He says, Bhuyaha pravakshyami. O Arjuna, as a teacher, I am not satisfied with my own teaching perhaps. So this topic being very subtle, so I will teach you again. That is the compassion of a teacher, an ideal teacher. Normally, repetition is considered to be a defect. It indicates carelessness. They call it as punarukti doshaha in Sanskrit. So even though Krishna is doing that, Krishna is committing this mistake for the sake of benefit of the student, so that the student would definitely understand better. So here it is clear that Krishna is not repeating out of callousness. If so, he won't know it also, because what he has said and what he has not said, you know, that he will not contradict himself. But here he clearly declares, O Arjuna, I know what I have said, still I will say it again. Bhuyaha. Bhuyaha means once again. Aham pravakshyami. I shall tell you. What shall I tell you? Jnanam pravakshyami. The same knowledge as was given in the 13th chapter. That is the Atma Anatma Viveka Jnanam. Kshetra Kshetrajya Vibhaga Jnanam. Dehi Deha Vivaka Jnanam. Or the Viveka Jnanam. Or the Prakriti Purusha Viveka Jnanam. So all these are all synonyms. So that's why I want to say all the terms, all are same. Then why do you want to repeat it? When we repeat something, when we think something is very important, that is to emphasize. It's an emphasis. What is the great importance of this knowledge? Krishna gives the glory of this knowledge by giving two adjectives here. Param jnanam. The word param is adjective to jnanam. It means the highest, the supreme jnanam, the supreme knowledge. Why it is the highest knowledge? Shankaracharya says, because it deals with the highest truth. Paravastu vishayatvate, param jnanam. Because the subject matter is the highest truth. So because of that, this jnanam is also considered param jnanam, supreme jnanam. So any knowledge is an intellectual process only. Whether it is Brahma Jnanam or Physics Jnanam or Chemistry Jnanam, whatever it is, the process is the same. And what is that? An Antakarana Vritti takes place. It is in the form of mental process. Antakarana means the mind. So the thought modes, they all take place in the form of a mental process in gaining any knowledge. Not that Brahma Jnana takes place somewhere else. It is also saying has to be take place in the intellect only, because it cannot take elsewhere. So, and here also, the knowledge takes place only by a thought process. So thought is the same, the process is the same, then how do we say the one knowledge, this one knowledge is superior to other knowledge? And this is superior, others are inferior, how should we say that? It all happens, depends upon the object of the knowledge, process remaining the same. In all other branches of knowledge, what happens? The object is anatma, prakriti, matter. That is what this object in all other knowledge. That is why we call them material knowledge. Whereas in the case of Brahmajnanam, it is also an intellectual process, involves a thought process, a thought mode, like all others. But the difference is, the object of knowledge is not anatma, but it is dealing with atma or chaitanyam or Brahman. So it is a spiritual knowledge. That is why we call it, one is material knowledge and the other one as spiritual knowledge. And when we say material knowledge, it is not knowledge gained by matter. Matter can never gain knowledge. Then we can say spiritual knowledge is knowledge gained by spirit. It doesn't work that way. So spirit will never gain any knowledge because spirit is what? It is apramataha. So material knowledge is knowledge dealing with matter. Spiritual knowledge is knowledge dealing with the spirit. So both knowledge belongs to intellect only. It's an intellectual mental process. But the difference in is material knowledge deals with matter and spiritual knowledge deals with spirit, and therefore it is called param, superior. As it is called in Mundaka Upanishad as paravidya. We are familiar with these terms. We have used it in earlier chapters. It is paravidya. So paramjnanam is the same as paravidya of Mundaka Upanishad, and this is one adjective. Therefore, it is superior. And the second adjective given here is jnanam uttamam. Uttamam jnanam. This is superior to all other types of sciences. So many sciences superior to all of them. Jnanam. Jnanam means all aparavidya, like tarka jnanam, vyakarana jnanam, mimamsa jnanam, bhautika jnanam, rasayana jnanam, all those knowledge. So compared to all aparavidya, this is uttamam. This is a superior knowledge. But Shankaracharya makes a subtle difference. Why it is so? This is called uttamam jnanam because of uttama phalatvat. The phalam, the highest result. Of what? Moksha. So the other branches of knowledge can give artha, kama and dharma, but can never give moksha. Even the ritualistic portion of Vedas can give only dharma or punya. Even that cannot give moksha. Therefore, uttama phalatvat, this knowledge is superior from two, actually it's also superior from two other angles. One is its object is superior. That is the object of knowledge. This is param, param brahma. And the second, the result is superior, moksha. So, vishaya drishtyam, pala drishtyacha, idam jnanam, param uttamam. Okay. And what is the phalam that one has gained? Krishna gives in the second line, yat jnatva, by gaining this knowledge, yat jnatva, sarve munayaha param sityam gataha. All these munis, sarve munayaha, all these munis, the sages, have attained the highest goal. Param siddhim gataha. Param siddhim means the highest goal. That means what? Moksha. They all have gained moksha by gaining this knowledge. Here, the seeker is called a munihi. And the word muni in Sanskrit has a beautiful meaning. Two meanings are given here. So, maunat munihi, one who does not talk too much, a person who always maintains some silence. So, who is disciplined in his speech. So, he talks measuring each word he speaks, such a person. One who does not talk when it is not necessary. There is always moderation in speech, being very miserly in speech perhaps. So, like thinking many times and going to 10 shops, inquiring so many things before spending money. You know, a lot of people do that. So, a dollar saved is a dollar earned, gained. So, thus, a sage that takes that much care to spend words. Instead of spending money, he spends words so carefully. So, if he can avoid two words and communicate in one word, he will use one word only. And this is called vaktapas. Vaktapas, so munihi. This is one meaning. And the second meaning is mananat munihi. So first is maunat munihi. Second is mananat munihi, one who is ever alert, thinking, who is mechanical. The person always, so mananam means thinking, and that includes the analysis of scriptures. He is not a mechanical person. A thoughtful person is called munihi. And Shankara takes the Munihi as a sannyasi, that is the third meaning. So the first two are the derivative meanings, which is possible for anyone, because we can derive the meaning for any word in Sanskrit. Even a grahastha can be a Mauni, because he can be a thinking person. He doesn't have to be a noble, great soul like a sage or somebody. He can be a thinking person. The third meaning means the one who has taken to sannyasa, who is committed to the pursuit of Vedanta, Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam and all that. So in simple language, Munihi means a seeker of this Vidya. So by gaining which knowledge, the seekers have attained Param Siddhim, the highest goal, and Itaha. From this means what? From the bondage of this body, they attain Moksha. That's what they gain. They get freedom from the bondage of this body, of this samsara. But Shankaracharya, he takes it as itaha means what? Maranantaram. So adit itaha pretya. Pretya means in that case, it will be referred to videha mukti. So not in this janma. After this janma, that person get videha mukti. Itaha. Having dropped this body, this person gets videha mukti. So they will not have punarjanma. They will not enter into another body. They will be one with Ishvara. So Krishna then glorifies this knowledge and talks about the phalam also. And he also says many people have attained this, indicating that it is reliable. It is not that something arbitrary I am telling. People have practiced this, gained knowledge and attained moksha. Because we are always afraid to be the first to use something. So how can I don't want to be the guinea pig, right? We also like to go by the beaten track for anything. So Krishna says, O Arjuna, I am not experimenting this knowledge on you. Knowledge has been there from beginningless time. Many have benefited by this. Therefore, it is reliable. You can trust. You will find the benefit yourself. That's what he says. So the first shloka is introduction of the topic of jnanam, the glorification of jnanam, and the phalam of jnanam. So all these three ideas are contained in the first shloka. Shloka 2. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya magataha sarge pino pachayante pralayetna vyatanti. Here Krishna is talking about Parasiddhi, which is mentioned in the first shloka. Param Siddhim, we already saw there. So there he said the Munis have attained the Param Siddhim, the highest goal. That's what we saw in the previous shloka. Then the next question will be, what do you mean by Param Siddhim, the highest goal? What do you mean by that? Does it mean going to Vaikuntha or Kailasa? Or some other loka, what do you mean by attaining Parasiddhi? That will be the question. Krishna answers it here. It is nothing but the same nature as God, one's own nature as God. Mama sadharmyam. Mama sadharmyam. They attain the same nature as that of mine. Krishna says, as that of mine. That means what? I am Satchidananda Swarupaha. The jnani also will become Satchidananda Swarupaha by gaining this knowledge. So I am not that Krishna that you see the charioteer. So I am Satchidananda Swarupaha Krishna. That is what he said here. Idam jnanam upashritya. By taking recourse to this knowledge. Upashritya means by resorting to. By taking recourse. By following this knowledge, this path. By resorting to this knowledge, these munis have attained what? Mama sadharmyam, they have attained the same nature as mine. Dharma means nature, sadharmyam. Dharma is nature, sa means, sa, you know, samanam. The same nature as what I have gained, what I have. And what is that swarupam of that Lord? Satchidananda swarupaha. That is the Lord. So this word sadharmyam has created actually perhaps some confusion somewhere, because some people say that this spiritual sadhana can only make a seeker similar to Lord. Sadharmyam, right? That means what? Lord will be Lord only. I will be similar to Lord. I am not Lord, right? I will not become Lord. I will be similar to Lord. But one can become something like Lord. So you may have certain virtues, you may have certain powers, you may be able to bless people perhaps, but you can never become identical with Lord. So this confusion can come. So these are all false interpretations of this shloka. They say Jiva will be Jivaha, Ishvara will be Ishvaraha. Jiva can become only a model of Ishvara, something similar to Ishvara, and he also can become purer, but he can never become equal to Ishvara. So people can argue like that, because the word here is what? Sadharmyam. Sadharmyam, I said that Sara refers to Samanam. Like the fire and the spark. Fire is also hot, spark also is hot and bright. Both of them. Fire is huge, but the flame is small. But both are similar or not? Both are similar. Both have Ushnam and both have Prakasham. So they both are similar. Nature is similar, but they are not identical. So, but we say it is not true. We say here Sadharmyam means they will discover the identity. Here similarity means total identity. It is not similarity in that sense. It's total identity. And why do we interpret like that? When we talk about similarity of nature, that is Ishvara is Satyam, okay, Jnanam, okay, all those things are fine. But remember, there is one particular nature of Ishvara, which is the all-pervasive nature. Ishvara is Satyam, I can understand easily. Jnanam, okay. And the other one is all-pervasive nature, the Sarvagatatvam, that is called infinitude. And Jiva also must become similar to Ishvara, means what? Jiva also must attain infinitude. And suppose Jiva also becomes infinite, what will happen? Ishvara is, of course, infinite. Then that will be, what will be the difference between them? In the case of fire and spark, it is okay because fire is finite, spark is also finite. You can compare like that, no problem. Therefore, they have only similarity and not identity. Whereas Ishvara and Jiva, similarity includes identity because Ishvara is all-pervading and Jiva also discovers all-pervasive nature, and therefore Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. Therefore, Shankaracharya specifically mentions Sadharmyam, similarity means total identity between Ishvara and Jiva. Okay, so what? By gaining this knowledge, what do I gain? Becoming totally identical with Ishvara, what is the benefit? One might ask, Jiva has got Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. Ishvara has got no Janma, no Maranam. And therefore, by becoming identical with Ishvara, one crosses over Janma and Marana. One will not be subject to birth and death. So, Janma Mrityu Atitattvam is the phalam. One goes beyond that. That is said actually in the second line. Sarge na upajayante. They are not born again in the next creation. Sargaha means srishti. Not only that, pralaye na vyatanti cha. During pralaya also, they do not vyatanti. Literally vyatanti means what? They do not grieve. That's what it means. But during pralaya, they do not grieve also means what? They are not born again. So, by implication, we should take they do not die also during pralaya and they are not born also during srishti. And why they do not grieve, that means sorrowful, because they do not die during pralaya, not born during srishti also, because they knew prakritim yanti bhutani. So, all these bhutani. So, it is the kshetram which is born, the body only that is born and dies, whereas I am the kshetrajnaham, which is najayate mriyateva kadachit nayam bhutva. We already saw those shlokas. So, in fact, they don't become immortal. Remember, they know they are the immortal kshetrajnaham. This is only a continuation of the previous chapter. So, the param siddhim, the jnana palam, that is clarified in this shloka. So, the first two shlokas are only introductory shlokas. From the third shloka onwards, Krishna will enter into the actual topic of this chapter. Shloka 3. Mamayo nirmahat brahma tasmin garbam dadhamyaham సంభవ సర్వభూతానాం తతో భవతి భారత. సో ఈవెన్ దో దిస్ టాపిక్ ఈస్ ద సేమ్ యాజ్ ద టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ ద 13th చాప్టర్ క్షేత్ర క్షేత్రజ్ఞ విభాగ, కృష్ణ ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ టు ప్రెసెంట్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఎ డిఫరెంట్ మేనర్ హియర్. ప్రీవియస్లీ ఇట్ వాస్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ క్షేత్ర క్షేత్రజ్ఞ వివేక ఆర్ ప్రకృతి పురుష వివేక. దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ దోస్ సినానిమస్ వర్డ్స్. బట్ హియర్ హీ విల్ టేక్ ద ప్రకృతి ఆర్ క్షేత్రం యాజ్ ది సగుణ తత్వం కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ సత్వ రజస్ అండ్ తమో గుణస్ అండ్ ది పురుష ఆర్ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ యాజ్ ది నిర్గుణ తత్వం. సో సగుణ తత్వం కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద 3 గుణాస్ అండ్ నిర్గుణ తత్వం గుణాతీత. అండ్ ప్రీవియస్లీ వి సా దట్ ఇట్ వాస్ ద కన్ఫ్యూషన్ బిట్వీన్ క్షేత్ర అండ్ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ. దట్ వాస్ ద కన్ఫ్యూషన్ వెన్ వి డెల్ట్ విత్ దట్ చాప్టర్. ద కన్ఫ్యూషన్ బిట్వీన్ పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి వాస్ ది కాస్ ఆఫ్ బాండేజ్ వి సెడ్ అట్ దట్ టైమ్. అండ్ ద వే ఫార్ లిబరేషన్ ఇస్ వాట్ సార్టింగ్ అవుట్ దీస్ టూ దట్ వాస్ సీన్ దేర్ ఇన్ ద 13th చాప్టర్. హియర్ కృష్ణ విల్ సే ఇట్ ఈస్ ద కన్ఫ్యూషన్ బిట్వీన్ సగుణ అండ్ నిర్గుణ. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్ పురుష ప్రకృతి క్షేత్ర క్షేత్రజ్ఞ హీ విల్ సీ నౌ సగుణ అండ్ నిర్గుణ. దట్ ఇస్ ద కన్ఫ్యూషన్ బిట్వీన్ దమ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ద మిక్సింగ్ ఆఫ్ సగుణ అండ్ నిర్గుణ దట్ ఈస్ ద కాస్ ఆఫ్ సంసార ఆర్ బాండేజ్. అండ్ సో ద వే ఆఫ్ లిబరేషన్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ సార్టింగ్ అవుట్ ద 3 గుణాస్ గెట్టింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ తమో రజో అండ్ ఈవెన్ సద్గుణ సత్వగుణ. So that is what bondage, liberation from bondage means. And becoming nirguna or gunatitaha is the only solution for that. Therefore, we will do the vivekam between saguna and nirguna. That is going to be the actual gunatraya vibhaga yoga, that is going to be the topic here. And we will dismiss saguna as prakriti, kshetram, inert matter. And we will arrive at అహం యాస్ నిర్గుణ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ పురుష. దట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ది ఎక్సర్సైజ్ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్. సో దిస్ గుణాతీత క్షేత్రజ్ఞ పురుష భావ అలోన్ ఇస్ మోక్ష. గుణాతీత క్షేత్రజ్ఞ పురుష భావ దట్ ఐఎమ్ గుణాతీత, ఐఎమ్ బియాండ్ ఆల్ ది గుణాస్, ఐఎమ్ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ. సో దట్ భావ దట్ అలోన్ ఇస్ మోక్ష. సో ఈవెన్ దో we use different terminologies, the topic is ultimately same. Atma, anatma viveka is the topic in any way. So atma can be called kshetrajna, purusha, gunatita, all are same, all are synonymous. Similarly, anatma can be called as what? Kshetram, prakriti, saguna, all are same, synonymous. And so the very same atma, anatma viveka can be presented as క్షేత్ర క్షేత్రజ్ఞ వివేక, పురుష ప్రకృతి వివేక, గుణాతీత సగుణ వివేక ఆర్ నిర్గుణ సగుణ వివేక. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ ఆర్ సేమ్. అండ్ 14th చాప్టర్ విల్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ నిర్గుణ సగుణ వివేక. అండ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ చాప్టర్ వి జనరలీ సెట్ దట్ ప్రకృతి అండ్ క్షేత్రం ఆర్ ద కాస్ ఆఫ్ బాండేజ్, కాస్ ఆఫ్ సంసార. పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి, సో దే ఆర్, దట్ ఈస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్ అండ్ దట్స్ వాట్ ట్రైంగ్ టు లుక్ అట్ ఇట్. సో పురుష గెట్స్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ప్రకృతి విచ్ హెస్ గాట్ ద 3 గుణాస్. అండ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది గుణ సంగ అసోసియేషన్ విత్ ద గుణాస్ పురుష బికమ్స్ బౌండ్. దట్ వాస్ వాట్ వాస్ సెట్ దెన్. సో ఇన్ ద 13th చాప్టర్ ఇట్ వాస్ ఓన్లీ జనరలీ సెట్ దట్ ప్రకృతి గుణాస్ బైండ్ ద పురుష. That's what we saw there. Whereas in this chapter, we will get the details of this. What do we mean by this bind and how this happens, all the details. So what are the prakriti gunas? How each particular guna binds a person? Those details are also going to be seen in this chapter, in this 14th chapter. So this is the difference between the 13th and 14th chapter. Because even though all the gunas belong to prakriti, even though they all belong to prakriti, the method of binding is different. And those bandhana prakaram, the modes of binding, that is what is described here. And finally, the discrimination, the viveka, that also will be pointed out. So saguna, nirguna, viveka is the main topic. And even in the saguna prakriti, what are the 3 gunas and what are the modes of bondages, etc., they are also going to be talked about. And finally, Krishna will conclude this chapter by talking about the Gunatitaha, the Nirgunam Brahma, who has got completely away from the Saguna Prakriti bondage samsara. So, Gunatita Lakshanam. These are the three main topics of this chapter. So, what are those? Number one, the three gunas and how they bind a person. Number two, how to discriminate oneself from the three gunas. And number three, what will be the nature of a person who has transcended the three gunas, gunatita lakshanam. So these are the three topics. And before going to that particular topic, in the third and fourth shloka, Krishna gives srishti, the creation, talks about creation. The creation is mentioned here to point out that everything in the world is a mixture of Purusha and Prakriti. That is the reason why Krishna has to talk about creation here, which means every individual also is a mixture of Purusha and Prakriti. But we have seen when it is at the individual level, we have a different name. We call it Kshetrajnaha and Kshetram. Thus, Purusha and Prakriti, already we mentioned all this in the 13th chapter. I am only recapping. Thus, Purusha and Prakriti together, they produce the world. And Prakriti comes down in the form of the body. Purusha comes down in the form of Kshetrajnaha. And once the body and Kshetrajna comes together, then we call it an individual, individual Jiva. And thus, there are so many individuals and transactions begin among them. And thereafterwards, Krishna can talk about how the confusion takes place between the Kshetrajna and the three gunas of the Kshetram. And this Srishti, creation, has been talked about so often. We got it in the 9th chapter, Maya Dakshinana Prakritihi Suyatesa Characharam. Krishna already talked about that, in that thing. So Ketunanena Kaunteyam Jagat Viparivartate. Saw that shloka in the 9th chapter, presided by me, Maya Adhyakshena, presiding over by me, the Prakriti brings forth the creation of being, Suyate Sacharacharam. And we got it in the 7th chapter also. There the Purusha was called the Para Prakriti, and Prakriti was called the Apara Prakriti. These terms are familiar to us. So, Srishti is not new to us. And that is why Krishna does not elaborately discuss it here. In two verses, he completely covers this Srishti topic here. But even though he has talked about Srishti before, Krishna gives here in a different manner by giving a beautiful analogy, an example. Here he compares the Purusha to the father and Prakriti to the mother. He makes this comparison because mother alone brings out the creation, the children. In mother alone, the child grows, and ultimately mother alone delivers the child. In the same way, Prakriti has got the whole creation in it, and Prakriti alone brings out the creation. So mother is the upadana karanam, the material cause of the child, because flesh, blood, energy and everything of the child is mother's own. Similarly, Prakriti alone modifies to produce the creation. But even though the mother has got the potential to produce the child, the mother cannot do that without Purusha Sangha, association with the Purusha. So this Pitru Sangham Vina, without the contact with father, the mother cannot produce the child. Therefore, we can say, blessed by the father, who is responsible in giving life, the mother produces the child, gives birth to the full-fledged physical body. But the first life implantation must be done by the father. And once that is done, the life can become a full-fledged child because of mother. In the same way, Prakriti has the power, potential, to create the child, the world. But Prakriti cannot do it independently. It has got Panchabhutas within it. It has got Desha, Kala, power to modify, all that it has got with it. In fact, the whole creation is in Prakriti. Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, all are there. in Prakriti. But whatever may be the glory of Prakriti, it cannot do anything unless it is blessed by the Chetana Tattvam, the Purushaha, the Parambrahma, the Chaitanyam. Father is the Nimitta Karanam, the instrumental cause. Mother is the Upadana Karanam, the material cause of the child. Similarly, Purusha is the Nimitta Karanam and Prakriti is the Upadana Karanam of creation. In fact, whenever we talk about the Creator, the Lord, we should always take both of them together, the God and Prakriti both. Just as neither the mother can be the Creator by herself nor the father, Creator is both the parents together. Similarly, for the world also, for creation also, neither the Purusha is the Creator nor the Prakriti is the Creator alone. The Creator is the Purusha Prakriti mixture, or in Vedanta we call it Brahman Maya coupled, Brahman Maya together. And that is why all our gods we got in the form of Dampati alone. All gods, Vishnu and Lakshmi, are inseparably together, because Purusha and Prakriti can never be separated. If separated, we won't be here. Similarly, Ardhanarishwara, Shiva and Parvati. Shiva representing the Purusha Tattvam, Chaitanya Tattvam, and Parvati representing Prakriti or Jada Tattvam. Similarly, Brahma and Saraswati. We never have father in heavens alone, father and mother. Then it is a problem. We have father and mother together all the time. Vagartha viva sampruktau, Vagartha pratipattaye, Jagata pitaro vandem, Parvati Parameshwarau, together. Then we should remember, this example is only for comparison. Purusha is comparable to the father and Prakriti is comparable to the mother. But the example has got certain problems. Prakriti is Jadam. But we cannot say our mothers are Jadam. One has to be a little careful. It is only to show that Purusha and Prakriti must be together. That is the idea. We should not think beyond that. So then the next question is, in the normal creation of the child, there is this father-mother samyogaha, association, relationship. And the life is transplanted into the womb of the mother. And that life in her womb of the mother is responsible for production of the baby. Now, what will happen in the case of Purusha and Prakriti? Because this we can understand. But in case of Purusha and Prakriti, what happens? There, the samyoga cannot be like the father-mother samyoga, the association between father and mother, where we can talk about samyoga because both of them are limited. Father and mother are both are limited. But in the case of Purusha and Prakriti, Brahman and Maya, how does this samyoga take place? We say the samyoga is like this. Maya is Prakriti, Jadam in nature. Brahman is Chetanam. When this Chaitanyam is reflected in Maya, now we are using a different term, reflected. When the Chaitanyam is reflected in the Maya or manifested in the Maya, a Siddhabhasa Chaitanyam of Brahman is created in the Maya. Even these terms are also familiar to us, Siddhabhasa. And this reflection is called Samyoga. As there is a physical samyoga between father and mother in this world, this samyoga between Maya and Chaitanyam is because of this Chidabhasa Chaitanyam of Brahman is created in the Maya, and this reflection is called samyoga. Therefore, we say Brahman, the father, implants life in Maya, the mother, by way of entering the Maya as Chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness. Entering and all, they are all, you know, in quotes. We should be very careful. There is nothing like some physical entering happening or anything. No movement or anything. Just as the original Suryaha has entered the mirror or water in what form? Not in the original form, but in the Pratibimba Rupena. So, Abhasa Rupena, Suryaha Darpanam Pravishati, Jalam Pravishati. That is how sun. He, by the way of reflection, we call it as though entering into the mirror. Sun is not physically entering into the mirror by way of reflection. Similarly, Purusha has entered Prakriti in the form of Chidabhasa reflection. Once Prakriti is pervaded by Chidabhasa, then the creation can come out. Whatever is there in Prakriti, in potential form, all of them begin to come out. All of them originally, they were all in potential form, unmanifest form, like seed. But when it grows, as the tree comes with all its features, similarly in creation also same thing happens. So Krishna says, Mama Yonihi Mahat Brahma. Here we have to very carefully see, Mahat Brahma is a word which means Prakriti. It is not Brahman. Mahat Brahma, that is why we need always acharyas to tell us what the correct meaning is. Dictionary will never give this. Mahat Brahma is a word which means Prakriti. This is a very, very rare case where the Brahma word is used in the meaning of Maya or Prakriti. Mahat, that which is biggest. Brahma, that which sustains all kinds of things. So, that which sustains everything is called Brahma. Bharanath Brahma. And here Prakriti alone sustains all the effect and therefore it is called Brahma. In short, the infinite Prakriti. That's what it means by Mahat Brahma. So this infinite Brahma Prakriti is Mama Yonihi. It is the womb of my life, as it were. Who says this? Krishna says this. And Krishna is identifying himself with Purushaha. So I am the Brahman. I am Purushaha and the womb of my life is the Prakriti and I give Garbhadanam as the father does Garbhadanam to the wife. I implant life in the womb of my wife. In what form? In the way of giving Chidabhasa, the reflected Chaitanyam, consciousness to Prakriti. So, Tasmin, in that womb, Tasmin Yonau, in that womb of Prakriti, what do I do? Aham garbham dadami. I place or implant the seed of life. And once this Prakriti is activated, it is exactly like the mother. Once the father implants life into the womb of the mother's potential to create comes to manifestation. And the child begins to grow. And every change in the body that is necessary takes place. All of them will happen. But remember, before that, the potential is there for the female body, but the potential can never be activated. Similarly, Prakriti contains Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha, Prithvi, and all our Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, everything is there in Prakriti. But Prakriti cannot do anything. But the moment Chidabhasa comes, Prakriti begins to expand. The Nama Rupa begins to unfold. And from the Prakriti, the Sukshma Prapancha comes, the subtle Prapancha. And thereafterwards, Panchikaranam takes place, grassification. People who attended all the Tattubodha lectures, and we have already mentioned this in earlier lectures also when we talk about creation. So, Panchikaranam takes place, the grassification from the subtle universe to the gross universe. And then the Stula Prapancha comes, the gross universe comes, Brahman need not do anything. Afterwards, it is all natural. Just as father need not do anything for 9 months, everything will naturally happen. It is Lord's law. It's the law of nature. Similarly, each time the Lord need not tell things, Prakriti knows how to create. Therefore, Krishna says here, Tataha. Thereafterwards, that means after implanting the seed, which means after activating the Prakriti or after enlivening the Prakriti, what happens? Sarva Bhutanam Sambhavaha, the origin of all beings, Bhavati, takes place. So the origin of all beings takes place after this. Origin of all beings, that is what referred to the Stula, Sukshma Shariras, all of them. The Kshetrajnaha, the Chaitanyam, need not originate. What should originate is Sukshma Shariram and Stula Shariram. And once the Stula Sukshma Shariram have originated, the very same Brahman will become the Kshetrajna in the new Shariram, in the new body. And so Jiva need not be created. Only the Shariram needs to be created. You know how beautiful the tattvas are. Only the Shariras are created, Jivas are not created. But the Chidabhasa, when it manifests in the Sharira, it becomes a Jiva. Ghatakasha need not be created. Part space need not be created. Ghatam only has to be created. We have to only make a part. The moment you make a part, part space automatically gets created. Similarly, mirror alone need to be created. We need not create the reflection. The moment sunlight falls on it, it is reflected. As the mirror is created, reflection automatically happens. Here, Bhutanam refers to the beings. And the beings refer to what? The Shariras. Not the Shariri. We have used this term also earlier. Shariram refers to the body. Shariri refers to the Atma. In all places, Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayante Anajatani Jivanti Yat Priyanti Vishnusanti. So this is the Taittiriya Upanishad quotation that we have used earlier also. Bhutani. Bhutani means Shariram only, ultimately. Annad Bhavati Bhutani. Here also Bhutani refers to Shariram. Not the Jivaha, not the Chaitanya. Okay, then what happens? Shloka 4. Sarvayo Nishu Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha Tasam Brahma Mahadyonihi Aham Bija Pradapita. Here Krishna talks about the glory of Prakriti. It was compared to the womb from which the beings are born. Here he compares in the creation also, children are also born out of the womb of the mother. But what is the difference between the local womb and the original one? Here, the womb of the human mother can produce only what? A human child. That an animal can produce only an animal child of the same type only. We don't find any interchange happening. Imagine suddenly human beings giving birth to something else. But when we take the Prakriti, the original womb, it is capable of producing all types of bodies, not just only one type of body. But once the human bodies are created, the human wombs can produce only a human body. Animal womb can produce only an animal child. That is, every species can reproduce its species alone. Whereas Prakriti can produce all species. That is what is said here. Sarva Yonishu. In all varieties of wombs, like humans, animals, etc., yaha, murtayaha, sambhavanti. Whatever bodies are produced, tasam yonihi. For all those varieties of bodies, the original womb, the cause, Mahat Brahma. Mahat Brahma is Mahat Brahma. Here we have to carefully note that Mahat Brahma is not Brahman. I just want to reiterate the same thing we told earlier. It means Prakriti. Mahat Brahma is not Brahman, it's Prakriti. Mahat becomes, because it is big. The whole creation is carried by the womb. So it should be really very big. So that's why it's called Mahat. Not only that, it sustains all of them. All of them it sustains. So that is Tasam Brahma Mahatyonihi. Then one might ask the question, if Prakriti can produce all of them, why are you necessary then at all? Because it can produce everything. Krishna says, Prakriti can do all these things because of my presence. Aham Pita Asmi. I am the father. No doubt, the mother carries the child and gives birth to the child. But I am the father who gives life. Aham Pita Asmi. Giving what? Bija Pradaha. The one who gives the bijam, the seed. Bijam literally means the seed, and in this context, the very life. And life means what? Chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness. And this is not only at the total level. Remember, it is at the relative level. Take the mother itself. No doubt the mother's body has the potential to create. But remember, the basic condition is what? It should be a live body. A dead body cannot create anything. There also Chaitanyam is needed for the body to produce anything. Chidabhasa is necessary for the body to be active. It is necessary for Prakriti also. Whether it is Samashti total or Vashti individual, Chidabhasa is the life behind it. So with these two shlokas, Krishna has summed up the creation, the Srishti topic. Now Krishna will enter into the topic of the three gunas from the fifth shloka. Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhavaha nibadhnanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. So Krishna is now, from the fifth shloka up to the 18th shloka, Krishna will talk about the three gunas of Prakriti elaborately. He is going to talk about them. First, he enumerates the three gunas which belong to Prakriti. What are the three gunas? Sattvam, Rajaha, Tamaha, Iti Gunaha. There are three gunas known as Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, and Tamo Guna. And all of them belong to what? Prakriti Sambhavaha. All of them belong to Prakriti only. None of them belong to Purusha. Even though Purusha is intimately associated with Prakriti, none of them belong to Purusha. And if Prakriti has got three gunas, the products of Prakriti also will have the same three gunas. Therefore, Akasha will have three gunas. So is Vayu, Agni, Apaha, Panchabhutas. They all will have three gunas. One of the Panchabhutas, the Sukshma Shariram, is created out of the Panchabhutas. Out of the Panchabhutas, the Sukshma Shariram, we went through this in detail in Tattva Bodha. If anybody wants to refresh, please refer to my Tattva Bodha lectures. Out of the Panchabhutas, five Bhutas, the Sukshma Shariram is created. The Stula Shariram is created, and so those Sharirams, the bodies also will have three gunas. And now the Purusha has come out in the body as what? Kshetrajnaha, the Jivatma, the Dehi, is called Dehi because now he is obtaining in the Deha, in the body. So that's why he is called Dehi. And thus the Dehi is surrounded by the three gunas of the Deha, means Sattva Guna, the Rajo Guna, Tamo Guna. So the Stula, Sukshma, Karana Shariram, mainly Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, they are surrounded by the three gunas. And since they are intimately connected, Dehi and Deha, because they are intimately connected, what happens? The three gunas bind the Dehi in a different manner. Because Dehi is Atma. How it binds them? Nibadnanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyayam. These three gunas, they bind the Dehi, the Jiva, the Kshetrajna, where? Into the body. The three gunas bind the Dehi, the Atma, to the Dehaha, the body. And what type of Dehi? The Dehi is Avyayam. Originally, Dehi is Purusha, the Atma, is Avyayam, who is originally all-pervading. I have been now bound to my body. I am originally all-pervading, Atma, but now I am bound by the body, into the body. Because I should say, I am the Kshetrajnaha, the Purushaha, who is everywhere. But instead of saying, I am everywhere, what do I say now? I am sitting here. I am standing there. Why do I feel I am limited here? Because I have tied myself to the physical body. Otherwise, I am supposed to be all-pervading. But I say, I am sitting here. It all because of what? The three gunas. Tribir, gunamahir, bhavaihim, ebi sarvam idam jagat, mohitam na abhijanati, mamebhya paramavyayam. Krishna said, these three gunas have become an object of attachment or object of adhyasa. And because of the adhyasa, superposition, I feel I am bound. Therefore, the three gunas bind the Dehi, the Kshetrajna, to the Deha, the body. Even though the Kshetrajna is imperishable. Okay, here we have to understand the meaning of the word bound. The bound, you know, Nibadranti, the word bound, what do we really mean by the word bound? It's carefully we have to understand. So what is the binding? Here binding means it creates a wrong thinking in my mind. Because of the body, I feel what? I am confined to the body. For example, I am the all-pervading consciousness who is reflected in the body. That is the actual information. But because of the body, I feel that I am confined to the body. Therefore, body is the cause for my wrong thinking. And so we say body binds. That's all. Similarly, mind is the cause for my wrong thinking. And so I say I am bound by the mind. We can then ask how the body is the cause for wrong thinking. Mind is the cause for wrong thinking. Because of the body alone, I think I am a male. A female, I am 60 years old, I am sitting here, I am sick. And all these wrong thinking are all because of what? Because of the body. During deep sleep, during Sushupti, the body is not available. wrong thinking is also not available. When body is, there is wrong thinking. When the body is resolved, there is no wrong thinking. Therefore, body is the cause of bondage. Similarly, when the mind is, I think I am raga dveshi. When the mind is resolved, I never say I am ragi or dveshi. Therefore, because of their presence, I have a wrong thinking. I have an identification. I have a sense of limitation. Therefore, we say the body binds. Therefore, dehe dehinam avyayam. Krishna will take up each one of the gunas and how they are responsible for the binding separately in each of the separate shlokas. So we will see maybe shloka 6 onwards from the next webinar, because that might take a little more time. I may not be able to conclude within another 7 minutes. So what we will do is we will open up for any discussion now and conclude today's webinar with this shloka, shloka number 5. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwara. Sri Krishna namastu narayana.